1122 extension 298, or visit lasvegascc.com to reserve. The Las Vegas Country Club. The tradition continues.
Yes, air conditioning and plumbing, keeping you cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and available anytime your plumbing won't go with the flow. Schedule your air conditioning or plumbing checkup. 888-4937. 888-4937. Go to theyesmancan.com. License 7233 and 71246.
ESPN Radio, 1100 and 100.9 FM, is KWWN Las Vegas, K265EZ. From the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company. With Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Adam Hill.
Oh, man. Hey.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Here we go. Cofield and Company on a Thursday. Steve Cofield. Adam Hill across the way. Chrissy about to paint some masterpieces tonight over at Board and Brush. Location at Trop and 215 right there in Fort Apache. Go out and make your own art and maybe throw back some wine or beer. And many members of the ESPN crew are going to be out there. Clay Baker, Chrissy, Helen Yee, who does such a fine job on our stations and our website, LB Sports Network, and then Jesus from our Latino side. So that's 6:30. Very cool. Looking at the website, and as we said yesterday, you can create, hell, you know what? Create art for our studio. Give. I hope Chrissy comes back with like 27 listener creations so we can decorate the studio at some point. But that goes down at Board and Brush. BoardandBrush.com/Las Vegas. That's tonight. At 6:30. So we got to do some cleanup coming right out of the gates here. We were very excited, Adam, yesterday about an NFL music love connection.
Yeah.
Iggy Iggs, not Richie Incognito. It really isn't Iggy Iggs, actually, with the Ingies. But Iggy Azalea and H-Town wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins.
Now, you thought DeAndre Jordan...
I thought DeAndre Jordan at first. I started talking about size ratios, just, you know, making assumptions based on height, but she's actually gone down in height from Swaggy P, not up in height. Or she hasn't really done anything because, well, she did something, I think. So we get confirmation yesterday. Kristen, do we have the confirmation? This is from a Miami radio station, 101.7, and they actually had Iggy Azalea... After this DeAndre Hopkins stuff comes out, and they start asking her about Hopkins.
When you first moved to Miami to pay the bills, you were cleaning houses.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you ever see anything weird cleaning a house? Like,
yeah, I've seen so many things. I've seen cucumbers in the freezer is the grossest thing that you'll see all the time.
What do you think it was used for? Is that a health trend?
I've never tried it. Me either, but I know what it's for. I know. You'd be surprised how many cucumbers I've pulled out of the freezer.
Are you serious? Is this a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah! They didn't get to it yet. They got sidetracked. On frozen cucumbers. I'd actually never heard that before. That is intriguing. I've heard just about everything. But apparently I got more to hear about. That's a good move. We're not going to get into it, but that is a good move from a strategy standpoint. That is a good move. I refuse to look at Chrissy right now. It's a good move. So, this Miami radio station talking to Iggy Azalea finally gets to the... Really, it's a big story, or at least it was about 8 hours ago.
All right, Miami Dolphins or the Houston Texans?
Houston Texans.
Do you know why I'm asking you this?
Yes. Well, that's not even true or false, first of all.
It's not true or false.
That was just would you rather have this game.
You went for it, though.
I think you're sneaky.
We got to talk about him, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Are we dating? What's the situation?
Yeah, we're in a relationship.
Cool.
Yoo-hoo!
It's confirmed. Iggy Azalea, right. We're in a relationship.
Woo.
Cool.
So then,
what's the next story?
The social medias start getting all dialed up and reaching out to people, and they reach out to DeAndre Hopkins, and you know the weird thing with DeAndre Hopkins is I misread him because I was saying, hey, I think he's got a chance with Iggy Azalea. He's clearly a metrosexual. There was the Hard Knocks episode where he was all over buying a Merce. So, like, sensitive guy. You know, he's not going to be obnoxious if we're going to... Not going to be your typical guy, right? Not going to dump on her in public. And then right away, he's like, what? Relationship? Huh?
Well, he tweeted out, y'all know I could care less about social media, which, by the way, I'm already annoyed because it's couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Because if you can care less, you care. That means you definitely care.
People will get it at some point.
Y'all know I can care less about social media, but your boy is single.
Wow. Do you put that out? I mean.
And then, he did the shrug emoji.
You put that out on social media? You don't even get. What do you think happened here? Just the simple smash and dash? Hit it, quit it?
I feel like. This
we're going to let me say those and not laugh at me for being
fine.
An idiot?
No, you're fine.
The delivery was pretty priceless.
Was good. You're fine.
Was it?
Hit it and quit it.
Over pronunciation.
I did smash and dash quick.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, no. Congrats.
You're proud of that?
Proud of you.
You're proud of saying it or you did it?
Keep going.
I can't even anymore. This is not what I'm thinking about you. So I would think that they were kind of hanging out. And then when she decided to go public, he was like, nah, I'm not having that. And I think that's what happened. But he also did set her
You think she overdid it, freaked him out, and at least publicly he's got to like push her away a little bit?
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm about to start a season. I'm not dating anybody. Like, I care about training camp and football. Like, we were just hanging out and having a good time, I thought. I'm not going to go public with some confirmation of dating somebody. But... whatever he tweeted about being single seemed to have set her off a bit.
A bit?
Yeah.
Set her off in not in an angry way. I actually feel really bad.
Well, it was a couple hours between tweets, but then she also came back with the I'm single girl shrug emoji because he had sent the guy shrug emoji.
I didn't even know there were separate emojis.
Yeah. And then the embarrassed, kind of the smiling with the embarrassed cheeks face.
Oh, no.
And then several hours later, 1:11 in the morning to be exact, she said, I have come to the conclusion I am going to be alone forever. I am completely fine with that. I have a routine now. I watch movies alone in the shower.
Oh, my goodness.
Expletive.
Dang.
It's nice. It doesn't sound nice.
That's sad. It's a broken heart playing out right in front of us.
Is she going to burn his clothes like she did to... Swaggy P.
Well, you know, that is that's a good point to bring up. You kind of do it to yourself, don't you? In terms of setting up. It's a little scary, let's be honest.
Scary in what way?
For him.
Oh, he knows what she can do, yeah. if you break up with her?
Like, I don't think people process in either gender, like when they're like, oh, good job, buddy. You got her back, or you go, girl. Like, someone is going to know about that, and they're going to freaking tiptoe in on the next relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think once it's out there, like, everyone knows, and she went on TV and talked about it, what she did, so people know it.
Boy, the celebrity dating scene is fascinating. But it's always been fascinating. I mean, this is nothing new. And for people who are like, why are you talking about this? This has been going on for freaking 100 years now. You know, it used to be in print and Hollywood rags and... celebrities love to doink celebrities.
Maybe it's what she wanted, though. Maybe she wanted that out there of like, by the way, cheat on me or break up with me, know what's going to happen to you.
Okay.
So maybe she wanted that out
there. I thought you were saying this is a strategic move that she overcommitted, smothered him, and he's like, no.
No.
We're not dating.
But maybe...
So now she looks like more of a sympathetic character, and they'll be, you know, they'll... Because, you know, I think most guys are on the guy's team, but there are dudes out there who are like, oh, dumbass. I'll step up. Screw DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, like, all right, that's going to work out for you. Now that you turned on the rest of us.
The White Knights out there.
Jerk.
We'll jump to her aid on Twitter.
I forgot about the White Knight. That's right. We had the White Knight who bailed. Tyler Bischoff was always Tyler Bischoff. God, I'm going to get those confused all the time. Tyler does a 10 a.m. show. Taylor Byrne was with us a couple of years ago. Anyway, Taylor was...
The White Knight.
The White Knight. It doesn't make any sense. So... we got 12 exhibition games going down, preseason practice games in the NFL. We've got a ranking list of Most attractive games tonight. I mean, they are practice games, so let's dial it down a little bit. We know the Browns game is number one for us.
Of course.
And there's already stories around the Browns. Clearly, you're going to want to see Baker Mayfield play. Antonio Callaway, the wide receiver out of Florida who just got popped with weed in his car on Sunday, is playing?
Apparently. I mean, it's a bit surprising. But at the same time, especially in a preseason game, it'd be easy to just be like, all right, he's suspended for the game, which would have been one series. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, they're trying to see other guys. Callaway just got a speech from Jarvis Landry. He doesn't want to take the night off. He knows the wrath that will be awaiting him in the wide receiver room if he sits out for tonight.
Yeah, we saw the speech pre-knowledge of the weed pop.
Yeah.
So imagine what Jarvis Landry flipped out about the laziness, shiftlessness, is that a word? Of some of the players on that team who are out injured all the time, and you know, he's without saying it, he was like, that's why you guys have been 1-31 the last couple of years. Callaway's just new to the organization, but he does have a background. So he was cited on Sunday, suspended license and weed possession. Now, why is this problematic? He tested positive at the combine, which to me is always a sign. Did Shane Wright test positive?
I don't remember.
He did, and he's been somewhat productive. Randy Gregory tested positive. He has not been productive, but he also has issues with bipolar, but he's been out a lot. When you roll the dice on a guy who tests positive at the combine, it's a heavy roll of the dice, and a guy who had already been in trouble at Florida. And on top of that, you're a Browns fan. Have you not thought about this?
About what?
If there's one type of character you're not going to have around Josh Gordon when he's around,
yeah.
Is it another weed guy?
I feel like Josh Gordon is stronger than him.
You think?
I hope so.
How do you know? He's not even there yet.
I know. He'll be there. He'll be back. He called.
Man.
He called and left his new number for Hugh Jackson.
I'm just going to tell you, We're doing radio. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to speak here. I got to be honest with you. I have to get something off my chest. All right, you're doing a radio show. Say it. I really like the hire of John Dorsey. I'm already getting sour on it.
Yeah, you're done?
Well, one, in Hard Knocks, what a frumpy individual.
Well, he wears a lot of workout gear.
He wears a white sweatshirt.
Sweatshirts.
Listen.
Shorts, sandals.
This is going to sound terrible. He goes sandals, shorts, sweatshirt all the time, and he mumbles. I should love him.
Yeah.
I can't understand anything he says. He's the new GM of the Browns, and between Callaway and, man, we're going to have, this is a 24-hour tease, we're going to have a showdown with very talented Gooch from Comp. What a buffoon on the Browns.
Well, he's blinded by blind loyalty of 30 years of awfulness.
I'm going to save this for 4 o'clock. More Hard Knocks impressions, but my first impression of Baker Mayfield is I'm not fired up. I am not at all fired up.
People are on both sides of that. I saw some people that hated him.
We're
going
to save it for 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
we're going to get into Raiders. Another day at camp. More stories coming out. Talk to one of the dudes who covers the Raiders on the ticket in Sacramento. But next, yes, we have a 2 or 3 day attention span in this news cycle where things can be positive, and at some point, it has to turn negative. There are people who are not happy with LeBron James for setting up this school in Akron.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada. Live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Yep, Sports Talk Radio. We got major controversies all over the place. Every day. We hate it, don't we? We hate it. We just want to do a happy show. Adam across the way, Steve, Chrissy. Chrissy, do you want to be the bad guy today and seem petty to the listeners? Do you want to complain about
anything?
Lack of technology?
I will say it's been very interesting trying to adapt to a life without internet the past couple of days.
You know, your delivery is so... Anytime we complain on the show, you need to file the complaint. You need to voice the complaint. It'll sound better.
The voice of it just sounds the complaining nicer. Voice.
Yes. Like, who in the building could get mad at that?
It feels like I'm camping in the sense that, you know, I have to rely on my phone, which is at like, you know, 50% battery until I just got my charger. But, I mean, all the stuff that we do is...
Hey, you forgot. Adam's talked about this before, about losing his phone or not having his phone, and how it's just, it's about the most devastating thing that can happen to him in his life when he's without his phone. By the way, how are your grandparents? Or should we just keep talking about the phone?
Phone's good.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Devastating. Devastating when you don't have the phone.
It absolutely. I don't know what I would do in this today if somebody took my phone away from me.
This. Most important things, my dog's one, phone two. Any people are way behind.
Three? Any
people in my life are way down the list.
There's, you know, I think there's, am I overstepping here? I think there's 3 hours a day where I'm important just to have someone to bounce stuff off of. But beyond that, I have no relevance in his existence. None.
Nobody does.
That's safe to say.
My dogs and my phone. That's it.
Should I go back for the listeners out there? Should I go back in like the old timey machine? You know, there was a time we didn't have internet and it wasn't that long ago.
Really?
Look at Chrissy's like, what?
I'm like, I've been, you know, I was on AOL Instant Messenger. That to me is old.
I swear, when we first got access, like real good access to internet, I probably have the year wrong. It was probably 97, 98, maybe even 96 when came
computers.
Out to do radio. Yeah, but internet. Yeah, but right. I'm talking like not even for show prep. You're right. Back then, good point. Wi-Fi really didn't exist. So back then, you could prep on a computer, but you would print out everything, and there would just be reams of paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and before that, guess what? You wrote out notes and you had newspapers.
Oh
my God.
I mean, newspapers are great, but...
I thought you were going to set yourself up there. No. That is terrible. Who wants to read a news... Wait.
It's a tough way to prep. You got to get subscribed to every paper in the country and just kind of run through them.
Well, the great thing back then is...
a copy of the paper, too.
Without an internet, without Twitter, without a text line, you could suck and not be prepped and just make lots of mistakes and no one in the audience could ever tell you unless you took phone calls.
Well, you could also do trivia contests then, which you really can't now.
No. You know, let's think back to sports radio. Trivia contests, frankly, were kind of a time killer.
Well, it was a way to give away prizes.
It was a way to kill time. It was 10% giveaway prizes, 90% let's kill some time.
Wait, they would do like the calls on the air?
Yes.
I'm thinking like taking off the air.
No, let's do a whole... I should stop. There are people who do this now, including friends.
Yeah,
it's like one of their top features. That's not good. Out of the market. Out of the market. All right, well, here's where we are. So times change, right? We were just talking about getting some computer access in the late 90s and doing show prep out of newspapers. That was our job. Now, this world we live in, anything good that happens, anyone who gets a pat on the back, we got to look at and go, really? Do they really deserve a pat on the back? We got to examine this more closely, which you know what? In some ways is a good thing because we do need to know the truth. And LeBron James got about 5 positive days out of, I'm building a school with my money in Akron. Yay! LeBron! But now we're finding out some more details. And I thought my guy Clay Travis, fellow MAGA guy, love Clay. Fox Sports Radio, wonderful option across the way on 1340. Clay Travis, if you make $50,000 a year and you donate $10 a week to your church in the offering plate, you donated twice as much of your income to your church as LeBron donated for his school. Uh-oh.
It's ridiculous. First of all...
Uh-oh. So the narrative is LeBron gave money, but was it really that much?
Well, first of all, this is the dumbest premise of all time, because it's also...
It's a premise that we hear all the time, though, about wealthy people with their... Well, we hear about famous wealthy people, but especially athletes and their charitable donations.
Right, but I'm not even talking about that, because we talk about people all the time making the comparison of, oh, this is only equivalent to this if you made this much money. That's not even the point. The point on this is the first one of many. Like, LeBron's not stopping at one. So that whole thing just assumes that he's not doing another one.
I love LeBron, but now I've thought about it. My guy, Clay, points it out. I think for me to be happy and really proud of LeBron, I think he has to get to six schools.
Okay, fine. That's the number then.
Six. One. That's a nice gesture.
Stop.
Come on, bro. Come through with the next five.
And he will.
And that's really?
The point. Because
or is
still...
he just, did he do enough here to get the love he needs, and then he's done, Adam?
No. And he also, the only reason anybody even brought this up was because the president wanted to make fun of him and mock him, and so now everybody on his side has to do the same thing. It's the only reason it's even an issue.
Yeah, obviously I'm being a little sarcastic. You're grasping at straws here if you're bitching about a guy only donating $2 million to a school. And frankly, this is a public-private partnership. Not exactly a charter school, but I've heard a lot of people extolling the virtues of charter schools. And I've rarely seen in markets a full breakdown of what monies are actually going publicly to these schools. But in LeBron's case, now it's a bad thing. That he's it sounds like he's footing the bill for $2 of $8 million, and there's $6 million that's coming from the public taxes. But that is commonplace all around the country.
Of course. He's
so yeah, if, would it make people happy if he was half of it, 75? Now here's the thing. I feel like reading reports, the suggestion was out there that he was paying for the entire school.
Yeah, I think some people might have assumed
so that.
So
that, if that's not accurate, that needs to be pointed out. But I don't think it needs to be turned into, he's only giving $2
million? Because it's such a preposterous thing to say. And again, that is also basing on the assumption he's not doing it anymore, which is not true. He is. He's going to.
So you think he's
going to
do a bunch of promise schools?
Of course he is.
Okay. And Andrea, who covers the Browns. That's all I follow, Browns people now. Cleveland Browns people on Twitter, @FBall_Andrea. Takes a pretty bored and mean person to get riled up about a nice, thoughtful person with the resources, building a public school in a community that needs it. Oversimplifying? Or yeah. About spot on?
It's about right.
Yeah. At Raiders to Vegas. Reacting to this. Real people are actually upset about this? In quotes, why is LeBron getting all this good press for donating $2 million a year to his community and help create more academic scholarships? Bring him down a few notches.
It's such a ridiculous notion. And again, like, you know, I have criticized J.J. Watt for doing things just for attention. Like when he raises money from other people to pay for things. Good. That's a nice gesture.
Hey, how are you any different than the people going after LeBron? Because some of it's LeBron's money. You were hating on. You thought that around the hurricane that J.J. Watt got way too much of attention for it, and then also was thumping his chest and look at me.
That was my issue.
But through the look at me, he actually had people donate more money.
Yeah, had
people, so it was a means to an end.
Had people donate more money.
He donated money.
Some. But it was.
You sure he didn't donate like $2 million? I thought he donated in excess of $1 million.
It was the way he went about it. That was the bigger issue to me. The way about J.J. Watt.
I still don't get your complaint on J.J. Watt, but I do understand positioning J.J. Watt and the love he got versus LeBron James and now some of the criticism he's getting.
Yeah, because I don't know how you could really argue that J.J. Watt did more. He did less. He did a nice thing, for sure. But J.J. Watt did something for himself. He did. Every single step of the way
was
look what I'm doing,
himself.
Look what I'm doing. The whole time.
Yeah.
LeBron did this. He did an interview about it, sure. But I haven't seen him, like, out on Instagram, like, look at what I did every single day. Like, what J.J. Watt was doing. And he was. But I was the only person I saw have a problem with J.J. Watt. Really, nobody else seemed to.
So will you be suckered into battles over LeBron not giving enough money for the school?
No.
You going to brawl?
No.
In the Twitterverse?
No. Well, no.
This is stuff you usually like.
Because first of all...
It's just pointless for you?
First of all, there's a character that said it, so it's not even really his belief that we're talking about, and other people have done this too, but it's all people that they don't actually believe what they're saying. They're just trying to back up the president. Like, they're coming to his aid because he's so criticized for taking shots at LeBron. So now they have to come to his aid and say,
who are you talking about?
People.
Who specifically? What do you mean a character?
Oh, Clay Travis.
Oh,
but
stop.
I'm saying,
you know what? We'll go to break. Clay Travis is a completely genuine person. We're going to talk Raiders camp next.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Gruden mic'd up. I remember a lot of the stuff was at training camp.
Ho, 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 ho! Santa Claus is here! Huddle up!
Hey, I'm not going to be a real patient guy now. Huddle up! Huddle up! You know what? You're like my wife when you get in space. You just get lost.
Classic Gruden. I don't know if he's coming up those lines now. You think he's lost his edge with the cheese ball lines?
No, I think he's still doing it.
Still has it? Yeah. I still got it! I still got it, just like me. What did I say earlier that was brilliant? You kids say it?
Smash and dash.
Yeah, hit it and quit it?
DeAndre Hopkins, hit it and quit it.
Yeah,
that's not the way you say it?
You're very cool and relevant.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
I appreciate
very,
you building
you're very
me up.
Good at picking up sarcasm, too.
Wait, what? Damian Barling does radio in Sacramento. Covers the Raiders. We're going to get his take on the LeBron school criticism in about 5 minutes. Damian, how you doing? It's Cofield and Company here in Vegas.
What's up? Guys, there was a lot going on there in that introduction. I'm just
what do you want to hit on?
Process.
What do you want to hit on?
I really would like to hit it and quit it, if you ask me, but...
You know the DeAndre Hopkins story, right? You know what was going on there with Iggy Azalea.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like it's our job to know that information.
I like that. He just laughs.
Yeah.
You're pro Iggy, right?
Oh, of course. How can you not be?
Because there are guys out there, Damian, who are phonies and act like they're picky, and they're like, the keister's too big. She's got a little bit of cottage cheese on the back. Like, cut it out, guys. All right?
Stop. 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 That's silliness.
Posers.
Stop. Yeah, that's crazy.
Please. All right, let's talk about Gruden. First of all, from a media standpoint, you're in that mega market in Northern California. What's your read on what he's been like so far? It's interesting. I mean, there are superstar coaches in the NFL, but this guy walks right back in, and it almost feels like you're covering someone like next level who has a lot to prove, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was the biggest. I mean, you could argue he was one of the biggest stars in football while he was the main voice of Monday Night Football. You could argue that he's a significantly bigger name coming off of Monday Night Football than he was coming off of a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a media person's dream in that he's always going to give you sound. He's always going to give you something to talk about. He's been on the other side of this now, so he knows what people like to hear. He knows what media people like to hear. So for us, as media personalities, for us being one of the homes of the Raiders, like it's great for us. What's been interesting is kind of watching how the players get along with him, watching things that he says post-practice, listening to Derek Carr talk about him. Like Derek Carr is raving about him. Derek Carr loves him. He's throwing a dig at Khalil Mack. He's throwing digs at Martavius Bryant. But I watched him. We were at training camp on Tuesday, and you could see him get into a couple of guys. You could see him yell at a couple of guys during practice, and then as soon as the whistle blows and the music cuts off and practice is over, he's pulling guys aside. He's talking to them, and everybody's leaving with a smile. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it's probably a different dynamic than what goes on with a lot of coaches and players around the league.
So it sounds like he's kind of being the same guy on the field. Do you have the same concerns that other people do about the X's and O's maybe being, a decade away and just jumping right back into it?
No. I mean, he knows football. He's been around football. His work ethic when it comes to television felt like it was stuff of myth and like fun to talk about, like waking up at 4:30 in the morning and watching film. But that was all very real. Like, he woke up in the morning and studied film on every team that he covered, and essentially that's every team in the National Football League. My guess is his coaching style has adapted a little bit. We don't know that for sure because we haven't seen him coach yet. But my guess is, given that he maybe he wasn't on the sidelines, man, but he wasn't away from football. Like, I don't have any concern about the X's and O's and the way that the Raiders are going to be playing this season or under Gruden, period, at all.
Even when he showed him film from, like, the 60s, it's so grainy they can't even see it?
No, I know that's fun, but, like, no. I mean, again, it's a fun talking point, but that's Gruden's style of football. I think he's showing them that film, and maybe he's showing them that film more for attitude than showing them for, okay, we're going to do it this way, guys.
Right.
Because you can't play football like that anymore. Like, the rules don't allow you to play football like that anymore. So I think that's more of just Gruden being Gruden. Like, hey, guys, let's take on the mentality of the 1970s Raiders. You know, that's when the silver and black was something special. I think that's more along the lines of what it was than, hey, guys, let's go play football like this.
Damian Barling up with Cofield and Company, talking a little Raiders, does radio in Sacramento. So what's your read on the latest with Khalil Mack? Is it getting better or is it getting worse?
No, it's not getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's getting worse, but it's definitely not getting better. You know, as I mentioned to you guys a minute ago, Steve, we were at training camp in Napa. And, you know, the Detroit Lions were there, so that was kind of cool to watch them practice in an environment where there's another football team there that's not just in a different color jersey. Like, it's an actual other football team. So with that came, there were media people from Detroit. And it's really noticeable that Khalil Mack isn't there. Now, it's not in the sense of that you're looking around like, hey, where's 52? But when we got set to go live and do our show, we had Jordy Nelson come over and Colton Miller. We had a number of guys come over. You know, we're talking to the media relations people, and, you know, Khalil Mack's name is coming up in every conversation. You got people who cover the Detroit Lions. They're coming over, and they're asking you about Khalil Mack. Like, everybody wants to know what's going on with Khalil Mack, and everybody has a different take. You guys got a great beat writer there for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Michael Gelkin. He joins us pretty regularly on our show, and you know, he's talked to people who have got ideas that perhaps there's a trade coming their way. Perhaps they have no interest in paying him. Perhaps they don't have the ability to pay him. Then there's the group of people that says no way you can trade Khalil Mack. He is the best or one of the best defenders in the entire league. There are people who think it's a game of chicken between the Rams and the Raiders, and that whoever sets the market with their edge rusher, they're going to be, you know, like if Aaron Donald sets the market, that throws off the Raiders. If the Raiders set the market, that throws off the Rams, because one of them is going to wind up having to top it, because that just seems to be the nature of NFL contracts. So there's all of these theories floating around about what's going on with Khalil Mack, and the truth is the only thing that we know definitively, he's not here, and we have no idea when he's coming.
So Mike Freeman writes about this today, very good NFL writer for Bleacher Report, talking about trade possibility with Khalil Mack. He said the odds of such a trade were 0% a few months ago. Now they're 20 to 30% and increasing every day. One NFC team executive said, quote, there's a feeling the Raiders are open for business when it comes to Mack. So what do you think now? Are they getting closer?
Yeah.
And would they consider moving him?
Yeah, I mean, he has another year on his contract, so what offer do you put out there for the one of, if not the best defender in the entire league? Like, what type of offer do you make? Like, is this a, I mean, I don't think Herschel Walker situations exist anymore. Like, are you giving up multiple number one picks, like, for 3 years? I mean, it's not an unproven commodity that you're drafting. You're drafting the guy who was the defensive player of the year like a season ago. So I think there's a possibility of it? Yeah, I think there's a possibility of it. Do I think there's a likelihood? Man, I can't imagine it. And if he is traded, like if Khalil Mack really is traded, how much of this had to do with Gruden? And that is where I would start to be concerned about Gruden's relationship with the Raiders. In that, how do you trade Khalil Mack as your first order of business? And you can pass it off to Reggie McKenzie, and I'm sure that's what would be done. But I think most people believe Gruden has a lot of, if not most of, hell, if not all of, the influence on what's going on with his players and who he's bringing and who's coming in and out of that organization. If your first order of business is the new Raiders coach for the next 10 years is to trade best defender in the entire league, and that's a tough pill to swallow. I can't I can't wrap my brain around it. I can't envision it at all. Is it possible? Sure. Is it likely? I can't wrap my brain around that one yet.
Damon Barling on Cofield and Company. He does radio in Sacramento, covers the Raiders. So what's going on with the defensive backfield? DRC trying out with the Raiders and Seahawks? Dominique Rodgers Cromartie?
Yeah, we were talking about that just a few minutes ago. We heard that come up, and that's fine. It does when we saw it and we started to talk about it and we're kicking it around on the show. It kind of brought that feeling of, so is this the shape the Raiders' defensive backfield is in? Because it wasn't good last year. It wasn't a disaster. It just wasn't good. And Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is fine. It didn't work in New York for a variety of different reasons. But I don't know that that's the guy I would target, which leads me to believe that maybe things aren't going particularly well for that backfield. And he's been openly critical, he being John Gruden, sorry. He's been openly critical of the defense. So if this is his way of addressing it, then okay. But it doesn't bring me like a ton of confidence.
So, Damian, I saw on a different topic, I saw your tweet about LeBron James getting criticized for not giving enough to his school. Your thoughts about the criticism?
It's silly. I can't like remember an athlete who did something like open a school and be criticized the way that he is for it. And I get it, when you call the president, when you call Donald Trump a bum, or when you say the things about him that you do, you're gonna get attacked by his supporters and you're gonna get attacked by the media members that ride the Trump train. But man, is this really the right thing to attack? Like, he built a school, and then there's, well, you know, that's only a fraction of the income that he makes. He makes, you know, just south of $1 billion, and he only gave $40 million. And it's like, okay, so we're really criticizing him for giving $40 million to a school. We're criticizing him for sending kids to college. That just feels odd to me, because we were praising, and rightfully so, J.J. Watt for raising money for Houston. Like, he's got great connections. He knows a lot of rich people. A lot of rich people gave a lot of money in the name of J.J. Watt for that. And I'm sure J.J. Watt gave a few bucks as well, but he raised money and was never criticized for it. LeBron gave money, and it's like, oh, that's not enough. He didn't give enough. Well, he built the school. Oh, well, that's not enough, because the taxpayers are going to fund it. Like, do you want LeBron to pay the teachers and the janitor and the electrical bill and the cable bill? Like, do you want him to do all that too?
Yeah.
Like, he built a freaking school. I just don't get what. And I understand, as an athlete, LeBron James is very polarizing, and that's fine. But this is just the wrong thing, no matter what side of the proverbial aisle you're on. This is the wrong thing to attack.
So I'm just going to be up front. I'm selfish. I've got a big ego, so I just named the show after myself. The hell with it. It's Cofield and Company. So I got some company queries, since you're part of the company. Company queries. These are three topics we're talking about at some point in the show. You ready?
I'm ready.
Have you ever been catfished? Or we'll stretch it out to, have you ever been scammed?
No.
Never?
No.
Wow, you're a smart guy. I've been scammed left and right.
Really?
Good for you.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I think having your identity stolen, like, that doesn't count, does it?
No.
Like, I had 250 Verizon bills show up in my mail on the same exact day. They were basically put in a box and put in my, like, mail. So, I don't know if that counts.
That's not bad.
But like catfish style, like... No, nothing along those lines.
All right. Another sports topic.
And if I have, it's still happening as we speak.
Yeah, you don't know about it yet. Exactly. You're screwing yourself right now. Damian Brothers with us. Right. Company queries. Three things we're talking about today. Another sports topic. Not really. Banking question. For me, I've only had banks take money mysteriously out of my account. Have you ever had money pop up in your account and you're like, wait, where did this come from? This is not my money.
No.
Okay.
But I desperately wish I have. No, that has not happened.
Okay. We're going to hit a story later on where a guy named Tommy Fleetwood, not that one, got Tommy Fleetwood's money for the British Open.
Yeah, so it was pretty like cool. $150,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, who's giving that back? I mean, no one's going to notice. Come on now.
I'll just pretend like I didn't see it.
Right.
Oh, man, I always get $150,000 deposits. I thought it was mine.
Hey, Ratings are up on radio. I got a big bonus. Last one. Yeah, last one. Company query. What's the most you've ever paid for a single entree at a restaurant? Most expensive thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, wow. There's a restaurant in San Carlos, which is kind of an area in the Silicon Valley, just like near Redwood City, Palo Alto. There's a place in their little downtown area called The Town. It's a really fine steakhouse. And I don't know if this is expensive or not. I think it was a porterhouse. And I think it was $75 or $79.
All right. That's middle of the menu in Vegas steakhouses. But we got it. No, in most markets, an $80 steak is pretty pricey.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if I recall correctly, it was, you know, other than, you know, a bottle of something, it was the most expensive thing on the menu. I mean, it was fantastic, but again, I don't know how that measures up against, you know, other steakhouses. It was fantastic for whatever that's worth.
Well, we're going to talk about a $75 hamburger, so.
Oh, yes, the University of Phoenix Stadium. Yeah, yep. That's a hell of a concoction that they got going on there.
It's a good word for it, a concoction. All right, Damian, hey, we appreciate a couple minutes, and let's definitely get you on soon. We want to talk more Raiders down the road, okay?
Absolutely, you bet. Appreciate you guys.
There you go.
Thanks, man.
KHTK in Sacramento, Damian Barling. We'll get to the $75 burger on the way back, and also, I don't know that I'm comfortable looking at side-by-side pictures of newly shredded NBA players, but we do have to address the elephant in the room. There was one player who cut out junk food and is kind of making me feel bad right now.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota. Live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Wow, look at Chrissy pulling a surprise. Do you think she had that ready? And she played that like all coy during the break?
She probably just plays it all the time whenever we're talking. We just can't hear it.
Wait, was that an old rejoin? Did you actually make it? It was an old one, right?
No, honestly, I was trying to figure out how am I going to do this on the fly with the computer.
Oh, you did it.
And I...
That's good.
Yeah, so...
Wow, you're smooth.
I try. Smooth. I mean, I'm not hit it and quit it smooth, but...
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, you know. I think he's got to let that play out a little longer. Maybe they did. Maybe they were together like 10 times. Yeah, we had the breaking news at the beginning of the show. Heartbreaking.
And hit it 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 and quit it.
And then quit it.
Apparently DeAndre Hopkins is too cool for Iggy Azalea. Jerk.
Well, he just doesn't like her spreading their business.
Nah. He did. Or she did. All right, a couple of food updates.
They traded shrugging emojis.
Yeah, that's... I haven't used that one yet. I really don't use any. Like I said, at some point I'll use the curious one. I'm in thought. You know what? I'll give a to... I guess it's an age thing, and I'm not one to speak because I'm a slob, but if my career and future earnings were based on being in tip-top shape, like, I'd probably be pretty dedicated. So I thought this was interesting with Miles Turner of the Pacers, who is only 22, actually regressed a little bit last year. He's coming up on a chance to make mega money, and now this summer he's finally dedicated to his conditioning. I guess it's a 22-year-old thing, right? Is that what it is?
I think, well, it's also...
Or do you think someone went to him and said, dude, this is the year coming up here as you're moving towards, what is he going to, his fourth or fifth, whatever. Like, your big money's coming up here. You just saw what happened with Biggs. Like, there was some money, but it dried up for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I'm not saying it's the same situation, but, like, Brooke Lopez, who's older, got, like, $2 million. Clint Capella got freaking $15 million. Past deals, guys have gotten 27. Like, there's a wide range. You screw up in a given year and you don't make progress, you may be Nerlens Noel, who can't get a deal. He can't get a long-term deal.
And I think that's Miles Turner looking at it and saying, wow, I took a step back.
Yeah.
Like, how can I make sure I don't keep taking a step back? I got to figure this out.
So headline, Miles Turner, professional athlete, is no longer eating 8 slices of pizza at once.
Okay.
I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
But...
It depends where you get the pizza from, too.
I'm no fitness whiz. 8 slices in one sitting probably ain't the best thing.
We go to one of, like, the you know, the really large flat pizzas.
Yeah, little square slices.
The square slices?
Yeah.
It's a little different.
I'm thinking traditional cut.
Okay.
Triangle slices.
Well, you're thinking like, I mean, if you're going like Chicago deep dish,
ooh,
that's a lot.
Eight slices.
That's a ton.
If he was doing that.
He's doing wow. Like eight at, you know, like a, you know, Naked City.
Yeah.
Pretty thick slices.
Yeah.
A lot of toppings.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
It says here in the story, cutting Popeye's Fried Chicken, Waffle House. Oh.
No boy.
And Wada Burger.
You love Wada Burger.
Out of his diet. And no longer devouring the eight slices of pizza in one meal. He also hired a personal chef. The Pacers big man has sculpted his body from 14% body fat. That is pretty high for an NBA player, down to nearly half that. So I'm guessing good. In the eights. Good for him.
Good math.
Well, he can be a superstar. So if this is the next step, this gives him the edge.
What if he just gets a big contract because he wants more pizza?
And then just gets all fat again?
Yeah.
Looks a little more Frenchy, like our favorite guy, Boris Diaw, who definitely never got his body fat to 8%.
He has eight loaves of bread.
I cut down from eight baguettes. I'm only eating six now.
Stereotypical French joke.
I called him a Frenchie at the start. I'm going to insult anyone by saying baguettes?
Well, I said bread. I mean, I was saying the same thing.
Well, I could have just been lame and just said French bread.
Could have worked.
Yeah.
Eight French bread pizzas.
What kind of bread do you think is on this $75 burger that they're serving at Arizona Cardinals games?
I actually saw this, but I don't see it in the story I'm reading right now. I thought it was like an onion roll.
Okay.
But a very large one.
Just as long as it's not ciabatta. I've told you there's something weird at home with the SO.
Yeah.
Like the proliferation of ciabatta ads just get her all mad. I don't get it. She doesn't get mad about anything, but if she sees a ciabatta, then she flips out.
I enjoy a good ciabatta.
I like it too.
I don't know that you'd need a massive ciabatta roll to fill out this hamburger.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, it's not a 75, like it's not like a Kobe beef burger, Wagyu, right? No. It's not some high-end meat.
No, it's just a seven pounds of just every kind of fried junk food you can imagine on one burger.
And it's an eating challenge.
Yeah.
And it's $75. You have to finish it in an hour.
And if you jersey, a Cardinals jersey and your name, you get name recognition on the scoreboard.
I don't feel like that's enough of a payoff.
I don't think so either.
And when do you eat it? In the fourth quarter?
In an hour.
I'm saying you have to eat it in the fourth quarter. You don't eat it early.
What?
You'd have to leave.
I also think you can't take it to your seat. You're not allowed to have help.
Can you imagine? Oh, you have to eat it at the restaurant. Can you imagine taking a 10-pound burger or a 7-pound burger into the stands and then just like if someone around you was eating that, it'd be like, well, yeah, dude, get out of here.
I see the lady carrying it. It's ridiculous. There's 5 1/3-pound burger patties.
Mm-hmm.
So a little over, you know, almost 2 pounds of burger.
And then we go way, and it's not just a burger. This is a fat sandwich, as we call it in Jersey.
Yes, there's 5 all-beef hot dogs along with 5 bratwursts on there.
Whew.
20 slices of American cheese, 8 slices of bacon, which doesn't seem proportional. I think you need more bacon. 8 chicken tenders and 12 ounces of fries, lettuce, tomato, pickles, and tanker sauce. On a 10-inch bun.
I want to find out which fat sandwich. You know the history of fat sandwiches, right?
They're in the food trucks at Rutgers?
They are, yeah. They kind of invented them there, and they're disgusting. But, you know, if you deconstruct them, they're pretty tasty. If you eat it all at one time, it's a nightmare. But it usually has, like, the most basic one would have, like, a burger, chicken fingers, and fries.
Yeah. It's a good combo.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can obviously, this is just chock full of items.
It's the evolution.
I don't think this is a fat Daryl.
Okay,
who I think was actually the first guy to finish one of the original fat sandwiches and then had a sandwich named after him. I think that's a better honor than a jersey and than a scoreboard appearance.
Think so.
Like, that is forever.
Yeah, this should be the Cofield & Company burger.
If we could finish it.
We could.
The burger should be, I mean, you can't, what are you going to do every time someone finishes? I don't know. The first burger. Actually, they should do that. The first game, they would sell so many burgers that first game.
Of people trying to get named after them?
Whoever finishes it the fastest, the first game.
I don't think anybody
it's your name. Oh, I think if a pro shows up, they'll annihilate this thing.
Well, don't be a pro. Don't be that guy.
If Molly Schuyler, you've seen her, right?
Yeah.
She's anti-MLE as well, just like Kobayashi.
Yeah.
But she's the one who wins the wing bowl every year in Philly. If she showed up, she could do this.
It's an impressive feat, no question.
Hmm. Good idea.
We can name our show after whoever does it first.
Be careful with that promise. And who said we're changing the name? Wait, are we broaching
this?
That topic?
No, if somebody finishes this.
It's Cofield & Company here on a Thursday. That is off the table.
Stick around. Cofield & Company returns in minutes in the Findlay Toyota Studios.